Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Lamed Dalet. We are holding on daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, five lines from the end of the page. Tana Rabbanan Maisa Ba'adam Echa. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lee Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to do today, first we're going to talk about a story of a person who, instead of giving his nechasim, leaving things to fall b'Yerusha, to his son, since his son was not Noah Kashura, he gave it all to Yonasan ben Uziel. So the Gemara is going to discuss how a machlokas ensued between Yonasan ben Uziel and Shammai HaZaken in terms of what Yonasan ben Uziel should have done with those nechasim. Once we're on the topic of Yonasan ben Uziel, the Gemara is going to tell us a fairly famous passage that appears in Maseches Sukkah as well about the greatness of Yonasan ben Uziel and about all of the Talmidim of Hillel HaZaken in general. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about a person's ne'emanus to identify Zebni, that this is his son, or to identify Ze'achi, that this is his brother. And the Gemara is going to talk about Legabe, what halacha do we say that a person is ne'eman to identify a son, and not just Legabe, what halacha, but why does it work to say that a person is ne'eman for a person to be, why is it that a person is ne'eman to identify his son? And the Gemara is going to discuss, is a man believed to, that's going to lead directly into a discussion, whether a man is believed to say Girashti es ishti, right? If he says that he's divorced his wife, and we have Edim that she slept with another man, so is she Chayiv Misa or not? Or do we believe him that they already divorced, and therefore she's not going to be Chayiv Misa? That's going to lead into a discussion of Palginan Dibura. When do we say Palginan Dibura? When do we not say Palginan Dibura in terms of a person's ne'emanus about a variety of things? So let's begin Kuf Lamed Gimel Beis, five lines from the bottom of the page. Tan Rabbanan Maisa Ba'demecha Shalaya Ba'dem Nogin Kshura. There was a Maisa with a particular person whose children were not behaving properly, and therefore he did not want his children to have any Hana'ah from his Nechasim. So what did he do? Amad V'kasim Nechasim L'Yonasan Ben Uziel. He wrote over all of his Nechasim as a Matana to Yonasan Ben Uziel. Ma'asa Yonasan Ben Uziel. What did Yonasan Ben Uziel do with those Nechasim? I don't know when the Gemara decides to go into question-answer format and when it just, you know, tells the story. But what did Yonasan ben Uziel do with those nechasim? Mochashlish, he sold a third of those nechasim. Vihikdishlish, he was makdish a third of those nechasim. Vichzil banavshlish, and he returned a third of those nechasim back to the fellow's children. Baal of Shammai b'makolav v'tarmilo, so Shammai came b'makolav v'tarmilo to pick a fight with him and to say that this matana should be batal because you violated the das hanosein, meaning the person who gave it to you, Dafka, did not want it going to his children. That's why he gave it to you. And now you're going to go and give a third back to the children. Therefore, it's not a valid matana. And so you better take it back from the children because mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, or it doesn't belong to you to begin with. So he came to pick a fight with him. And the Ein Elio says that's what makolo v'tarmilo means. Makolo means his charifus, because we find Talmidei Beis Shammai were charifim. The Gemara in Yevamos Yudala tells us that. And tarmilo means his bekiyus. So Shammai came with all of his intellectual prowess, both his charifos and his bekiyos, and he was ready to fight this out. So Amalei, so Yonasan ben Uziel said back to Shammai, Shammai, imatiyach lahotzi es masha mecharti, umashikdashti, atiyach lahotzi, mashikzarti. You don't like the fact that I gave a third back to his children? If you can undo the sale that I made of one third of the stuff that he gave me, or the hektish that I did, the fact that I was makdishit, so good, then you can undo the fact that I gave one third to his children, we can get that back. But if you can't do that, imlav, if you're not able to be mvatal the mechira, and you're not able to be mvatal the hegdish, so then the matana was a valid matana, and it was mine, meaning I've demonstrated that it was mine, and that it was completely under my possession and my control by the fact that I effectively was able to sell it, I effectively was able to be makdish it, and therefore I gave a matana. The father didn't give a matana, I gave a matana of one third of the nechasim back to the children. So, yet, yachalotzi, mashech zarti. You can't undo that which which I returned. So Amar, so Shammai said, Hitiach alai ben Uziel, Hitiach alai ben Uziel. That ben Uziel has outsmarted me, meaning as the Rashbam says, he has responded to me derech bizayon, and he was minatzeach, and he was victorious over me. Right? Hitiach is a lashon of derech bizayon. That's what the Gemara says in Tainus Chafei, that Hitiach dvarim klape maila by Chonia Ma'agel, right? The Chonia Ma'agel went and he spoke with chutzpah, klapei Shemaya, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to him anyway. So the Gemara marvels at the fact that he's like a spoiled child that comes and whines to, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens anyway. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him what he wants anyway. So Yitiach has sort of that little bit of a negative connotation. Ben Yoyada says he said it twice, because achas al mechira v'achas al hegdish, because he got me from two fronts, right? Because of the fact that he was mocher one third of the property and that he was makdish, and I can't undo either one of those things. So since I can't undo either one of those things, well then I can't undo the third thing either of him giving it back to the children. So says Mar Meikara, my Savar, what did he think initially? What was Shammai thinking initially? Why did he have a taina on Yonasan that he's not allowed it? If it's his, he's allowed to give it to whoever he wants. There was no condition that he's not allowed to give any of it to the children. So why did Shammai think he had a reasonable taina? So says Gemara, Misha Maisa de Beis Choron. What Shammai was thinking about was the Maisa de Beis Choron, and he thought that was going to be the basis of his taina. What's the Maisa de Beis Choron? Ditanan. It's a Mishnah in Meseches Nedarim where it says, Maisa be Beis Choron be'echot shaya aviv mudurei menu hana'a. There was a story in Beis Choron where you had a guy who assured his father from getting hana'a from any of his nechasim. He took a neder hana'a that his father cannot get hana'a from any of his nuchasim, vayamasi, but no. Problem was, he was making a chasana, he was marrying off his child, and he really wanted his father to be there. People get nostalgic at times of family simchas. He really wanted his father to be there at the wedding. So he said to his friend, Hare chater usu'uda nesun lecha b'matana. I am hereby giving you the wedding hall, and I'm giving you the entire su'uda. It's all yours. It's all a gift to you. Ve'inan lefanecha, and the elekadesh yavo abba, v'yoch and you should realize my kavana in giving you, it's not that you just won some sort of raffle for a free wedding. I gave this to you because it's going to be my son's wedding, and I want my father to be able to be at the wedding. But if I own it, my father can't benefit from it. So you're going to be the technical owner. That way my father will be able to benefit from the wedding. But everything I would like to be the same. I still want it to be my son, my daughter-in-law getting married. So Amalo, the Makabal of the Matana said, Im Shalihain, if it is mine, if you're really giving it to me, Harein Muktash L'Shmayim, I hereby make it Hegdish. Meaning I am hereby declaring it Hegdish. It's not going to be your son's wedding. It's going to be something that I just give to Agdish. So Amalo, so the No Saint said back to him, I didn't give it to you for you to be Makdish L'Shamayim. I gave it to you for my father to be able to come to the wedding. So Amalo, so the recipient said, Lo nasat li yashalcha, el shtei atav avicha ochun v'shosin, umratzin zelazeh, v'hei avon tali b'rosho. That it seems that you only gave it to me to calm your guilt, that you're going to violate your neder, your father's going to violate the neder, and it's going to be my problem. I'm going to be the enabler to that enabled all of you to violate your nedarim. That's what the Rashbam says, that the father and the son will be in violation of a neder. The Ran in Maseches Nedarim and Daftez Vav Amud Aleph quotes a machlokas, who exactly violates Bal Yochel in such a case? Is it the Madir, because he was Mahana, the one that he was Madir not to get Hana from him? Is it the Mudar, because he's the one that's not allowed to get the Hana as a result of the Neder? Or like the Rashbam says over here, it's both, right? Both the guy who took the Neder and the guy who the Neder was made on would be in violation of the Neder if this Hana was gotten. So you're just doing this to make yourself feel less guilty, but I'm not going to be an enabler of a double violation of a neder, because by allowing the suda to go on as planned. So Amr Chaim L'Chaim said, when they heard this maisa, Kol matana she'ena she'mikdish mikdashes ena matana. That if any matana that the recipient of the matana does not have the ownership rights of being makdishit, he's not enough of an owner to make it hegdish, well then he's not an owner. It's not a matana at all. So Shammai thought, that's a precedent for our case with Yonasan ben Uziel. That Shammai thought, the matana is not a matana because you violate the das of the nosein when you're makdishit. So we hear also, the father gave Yonasan al-manas that he shouldn't give it to the children. And you are violating the das of the nosein when you're being makdishit. So the matana that that Yonasan gave to the children should not be a valid matana, because he's in violation of the das of the Nosein. And Yonasan ben Aziel's response is that in this Maisa of Beis Choron, he was told beferish that he's only giving him the wedding hall almanas that the father should be able to eat with them. But in our case, where the father gave the Melchasim to Yonasan, he never said anything. We know why he did it. We know what his kavanah was, but there was never an explicit tonight. There was never a statement along those lines, and therefore the matana is a valid matana, and Yonasan ben Aziel is free to do with it what he wanted. Now, it's an interesting klal that the Gemara is saying over here, that if you're able to be makdish it, then it's a valid matana, and you're the real owner. But if the matana was done in such a way where the recipient of the matana cannot be makdish, then it's not a valid matana. It's all talui on that. So the Rishonim raised the question, Tosos and Dibra Maskel Kol, and the only Tosos on the page, raises the question that if you give a Matana Almanas Lahachzir, the Gemara is going to say, the Gemara says in Kiddushin Davav, that a Matana Almanas Lahachzir Shema Matana, and we're going to see later on, in a few days from now, when you give a Matana Almanas Shitachzir Reuli, the Mekabel Matana is not able to be makdishit, because the kavan of the Nosein is to get back that Matana in a way that he'll be able to use it again. So when you're makdishit, you're not going to be able to give it back to him in a way that you'll be able to give it back to him, but it's going to be hegdish. He's just going to be safekeeping for a hegdish, but he's not going to be able to use it. And therefore, you're not able to be makdishit. So how could it be that the Gemara in Kedusha says Matana al-Menas la'achzir is Shema Matana, and yet at the same time, even though it's Shema Matana, we don't say that and yet at the same time he's not able to be makdishit. I thought it's all totally on being able to be makdishit. So answers Tosos, since the Mekabel Matana could be makdish, calls man that the Matana is biyado, it's considered Matana Gemura, as opposed to the Maisa Beis Choron, that even at the time that he has the Matana, he's not able to be makdish it, and therefore it's not considered to be a Matana, meaning you can be makdish it by Matana Menas Achzir, just not forever. You can be makdish it on a temporary basis. The Tosos quotes the Ri that says that the Chisaron over here is not because he's not able to be makdish it, it's because the Nosein didn't intend to give him a Matana Gemura. The Nosein was just trying to do a Ha'arama to be able to allow his father to participate in the wedding, where he says, it's only that my father should be able to participate in the Suda. But a Matana Menach Sahachzir, at the time that he's giving him the Matana, it is a Matana Gemura. There's no indication of a Ha'arama, and therefore we don't fall onto this rule of, well, are you able to be Makdish? Because there's no Shaila. It's a Matana. So once there's no Shaila, we don't fall back on this rule of whether you can be Makdish or not. Now, once we mention Yonasan ben Aziel, so says Gemara, let's tell you something about Yonasan ben Aziel. Tanu Rabbanan, Shemonim Talmidim Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim. Shloshimen Ruim Shtish Alein Shechina K'mosh Rabbeinu. 30 of them were roi to have a level of Ashras HaShechina like Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Rashbam points out the dor was not roi lekach. The dor was not roi lekach. It's an important line that the dor is not roi lekach. There's a Tshuvas HaRashba in Chelek Aleph Sim Tavkuf Mem Ches, where there was a story that happened that a guy started saying that he had Ruach Hashem Mefa Emes Bo. He was taken by the Spirit of God, and he was megala all sorts of giluyim, and he says for 4 years in a row, when I'm awake, when I'm dreaming, I see all these things, and he wrote this big sefer with all of these things. But all we knew about this guy prior to that was he's an Ama Aretz Gomor. He didn't know anything. He was a nobody. And all of a sudden he says, I'm a Navi, and I'm seeing things, and I have. So they turn to the Rashba and ask the Rashba, how do you handle something like this? And the Rashba says, this happens all the time. You know, people like this come up every now and then, where they claim to have Nevuah. And he says a couple of things. He says, first of all, obviously he's not a Navi, and there are many rayas. Nevuah is only shora on a chacham, ashir, v'gibor, and this guy is none of those things. It's not possible that a guy goes to sleep one night and he's not a chacham, ashir, v'gibor, and then he wakes up the next morning with a nevuah. It just doesn't happen. And then he says, and our Gemara says that among the Talmidei Hillel were shloshim shiruiyah shtishalein shchina k'moshe Rabbeinu, and Novus Rabbi Nassim that says, yeah, there were ra'ui that it would be that way, but why did they not have that sense of Hashras HaShechina? Because their dor is not Roy Lekach. If the dor of Hillel HaZaken was not Roy Lekach, says the Rashba, then our dor is most certainly not royal lekach. So even if you want to say that this guy is fully qualified, even if he was fully qualified, we're not qualified to be the recipients of such a nevuah. The Rashba says, but, you know, he's not a bad guy. He has a very powerful koach hadimyon. He has an active imagination. This is a common thing, that it was always a sign of the one shota in every town, is that he believed he was Mashiach, he believed he was a Navi, right? They always had one Meshugna that held that way about himself. So it probably doesn't mean anything by it, but it's obviously it's not true that he's a Navi. So 30 of the Talmidim of Hillel HaZaken were Roish and Tishrei and Shechina like Moshe Rabbeinu. Shlosh men ruim shtamel and chamak Yoshua ben Nun. There were 30 that were Roi to have the sun Shemesh begimun ba, that to have the sun stop in its place, like Yoshua ben Nun, who had such a miracle occur to him. The Rashbam points out he wasn't the only one that had such a miracle occur to him. Moshe Rabbeinu also had. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chafei says Moshe Rabbeinu had such a thing, but since he was not as chashuv as the Talmidim of Moshe Rabbeinu, so these 30 were not as chashuv as the Talmidim of Moshe Rabbeinu, so we call them the Talmidim of Yoshua, because it happened to have happened for Yoshua as well. I think that's one of the things that the Ralbag got in trouble for, right? Because I think he says that that miracle never happened, that it's a metaphorical, that when it says that the sun stopped for Yoshua, that it was just saying that they were able to fight and finish the fight, what should have been a much longer fight. They were able to finish it in a single day. Ki'ilu, the sun was standing in its place, that they were able to get it all done. But it doesn't mean that it literally happened that way. So a lot of people said that that's up in courses. So that's why the Ralbag got into a lot of trouble. Anyway, Ve'eshim Be'in, and in addition to the 30 and the 30, there were another 20 that were in between those two, in between the group that was Roish and Tishrei and Shechina like Moshe Rabbeinu, and the group of the 30 that were like Yoshua, that were deserving of having the sun stand in its place for them, like Yoshua ben Nun. Gadol Shabakulam, the greatest of all of those, Rabbeinu Gershom says, of all of the Beinonim, not of all of them, of all of the middle group of people, was Yonasan ben Uziel. That was Yonasan ben Uziel. Katan Shabakulam, the smallest of all of them, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now, what do we know about the smallest of all of them, about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Shelo hiniach mikra u'mishna Gemara, halachos, vagados, tiktukei Torah. Tiktukei Torah means whatever you learn from a reboy of an extra letter in the Torah. That's the Rashbam gives the example, vizelachem hatameh, that we use the vav in vazeh to tell us that dam sheret is tameh. Rashi in Sukkah daf chavches picks the Sukkah example, that it says, kol ha ezrach bi Yisrael, is yeshua basukos, that the oshei tells us, and not women, that women are pater from Sukkah. So one letter in the Torah that teaches us Adin midaraisa v'diktukei sofrim, that which the chacham goes there not to violate divrei, in order to prevent people from violating divrei Torah. V'kalin v'chamurin, person that people can kal v'chomers, that people can make on their own. Gzeros shavos, every gzeros shava that a person needs a mesora that they cannot dan me'atzmo. Utkufos, and all the way of the molad halavana and all of those halachos. V'gematrios, and everything that's derived from a gematria. Rashbam writes, such as when we say the pasuk Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that the Gemara tells us Ana nafshi kasvis yahavis, that it's a nutrikon of a Kodesh Baruch Hu saying I am giving over myself. So that's a form of gematria. Gematria means, in this context, says the Rashbam, Rashi Tevis. Rashi Maseches Sukkah says it's things that are learned from the lashon of gematria when it says Melech Sheshach Yishtach Reihem. Sheshach is Medina's Bavel, because in Ad Bash Sheshach is Bavel. So that's also gematria. Ad Bash is also a form of gematria. Pashtus is gematria, means what we learned from Kadosh Yeh in Parshas Naso, that Stam Nazirus is Shloshim Yom, because he used the word Yehiyeh, and Yehiyeh is a gematria of 30. So even though it doesn't appear in the Brisa that we say every morning of the Yigum Midrash Torah Nidreshes Ben, but it is one of the, perhaps it is one of the Midrash Torah Nidreshes Ben. U'mishalos Kovsim, U'mishalos Shualim, all these different Mishalim about launderers and foxes that help us understand Divrei Torah. Sichas Shedim, and the conversation of Shedim, where you need to how to make a kameya that will keep the Shedim away and make a refua. That's how the Rashbam understands. Rashi Masech Sukkah says he doesn't know what Sichas Shedim means, and Sichas Tukalim Malach Yeshua, he's not sure what any of this is. Sichas Tukalim, meaning we don't even, says Rashi's telling us something powerful, right? He was a bucky in all these things. We don't even know what the topic is, right? Meaning you ask someone, hey, what do you do for a living? He says, I'm an astrophysicist. And you're like, I don't even know what that means. Meaning, not just not an astrophysicist. I don't even know what the field is, right? So a person is Rashi HaKadosh says, I don't even know what these things are. And that was the Katan Shavu Kulan. What's Davar Gadol and Davar Katan? That he knew Davar Gadol, Maisim HaKavet, Davar Katan, Havayis Tabayev Rava. Davar Gadol are the secrets of the Maisim HaKavet that appear in the first parak of Yechazkel and the sixth parak of Yeshayo, but in the first parak of Yechazkel and Davar Katan are the Havayis Tabayev Rava, the Shakla Vitari of a Gemara. So the Kayim Mashinem are the Hanchil O Havayesh Vel Tzoseim Amalei, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives his beloved ones 310 worlds, like the Gematria of Yesh, and he fills their warehouses with divrei chachma. Otsoseim amaleh. Ben Yoyada Maseches Sukkah writes that it quotes this pasuk to tell me that you shouldn't think that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai spent a lot of time studying secular wisdom. No, he spent his time being kovei himself in Liman HaTorah. The other chachmos came to him b'siyata d'shmaya, that he was able to absorb them very quickly. Not b'siyata d'shmaya, that it was just all implanted in his brain, but that he had trained his mind and his heart so much through Limud HaTorah that the other chachmos he was just able to pick up like that. It was would have taken someone 10 years to get advanced degrees. He was able to get like that. They say that about Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach, that the doctors that used to ask him shailas, they would explain the medical condition to him and the factors, and he would say, "Tell me if I'm understanding this correctly." And he would then explain it back to them in a way that they said was clearer than they had explained it to them. That he just picked it up. It was just like extremely quick. So that's what the Ben Yoyada says, that it was a matana, that he was able to do that, that he was able to pick up all of that knowledge. That's what Sosei Mamalei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was filling the Otros with all of this Chachma. So if the Katan Shabakulam was like this, he was such a Gadol B'Torah, Gadol Shabakulam, Lachs Kamav Kamav, Gadol Shabakulam, all the more so. So Amar Lav Yonasim Ben Aziel, they said about Yonasim Ben Aziel, B'Shah Shiyoshi V'Elsim B'Torah, Kol Ov Shapareach Lav Nisraf, that when he was sitting and learning Torah, any bird that would fly overhead would burn up from flying overhead. Rashi Maseches Sukkah writes, because the Malachi Asharis used to come to hear his Divrei Torah. So when he was sharing Divrei Torah, the Malachim wanted to hear it, and any bird would run into the Malachim, and they would explode because of their encounter with Malachi Asharis that were coming to hear it. I always point out when we come across this Gemara, that when I was in Rav Shechtashir, we were learning Maseches Sukkah many, many years ago, and he paused when he got to that line. He said, "You boys don't know what it means to feel like the Malachim want to come and hear the Shir." He said, in Rav Soloveitchik Shir, we felt every day that the Malachim wanted to come from Shemayim to come hear what Rav Soloveitchik's Chidushim were. So Rav Soloveitchik had fascinating things to say. He said this recently. Rav Shach started giving a Shir, I don't know where, I don't know what context, but Rav Soloveitchik on the Siddur. And he just opened up a Siddur. Okay, here's what Rav Soloveitchik said about Adon Olam and Yigdal and Birch Satorah. So he said, Rav Soloveitchik had fascinating things to say on every page of the Siddur, on every page of Gemara, on every page of Shulchan Aruch. He had and on Kinos, and on everything. So he felt that the Malachi Asharis were coming to hear this year. It's a very beautiful moment. So that's what Rashi says. Tosos over there writes that it was Dvar Mesmechem Kenesinasim Yisinai, and by Har Sinai it was given Mitocha Eish. So therefore, it was a reenactment. Every time he learned was a reenactment of Har Sinai, and by Har Sinai there was Eish, and that's why it burnt up all of these birds. Okay, now back to Halacha. So says the Mishnah, Ha'omer Zebeniv. A person says about somebody, "This is my son." Neman, we believe him in that the son, that person will yarshin him. And that when the man dies, the wife will not require yibum because he has a son. But if he says, Ze'achi, if he says, "This is my brother," Eino Ne'eman. He's not believed in that that brother, he's not believed to grant that brother a portion of the father's estate. Because the other brothers will say, "I don't know who this guy is. What do you mean, this is our brother? He's not one of our brothers. We grew up in the house together, and this guy wasn't there. I don't know what you're even talking about." So you cannot say Eino Ne'eman means that he's not Ne'eman to aser his wife to get remarried because she's now chayeves in Yibum because of this brother. Because the Gemara is going to say, Rashbam points out, because the Gemara is going to say in the Beis that the Mishnah is talking about in a case where it's muchzak that he has brothers, that he has other brothers. So even if he doesn't say anything, she would be asurli nasi l'shuk, because we know that it's a Yibum situation anyway. So the Ze'achi is not to be machmer on his wife that she has to do Yibum. We're talking about a case where she anyway has to do Yibum. So it's all about the Yerusha, the the father. V'yitol imo b'chelko. Now this guy, who he's claiming is his brother, can take part of his chelek of the father's Yerusha, even though he cannot take any of the brother's chalakim of the father's Yerusha. Meaning, let's say there was two other brothers except for this Safek guy, and the father left three fields. So the two known brothers each get 1.5 fields. So what happens to the third potential brother, the Safek brother? So the one who claims it is his brother gives half of a field to him, and he says, look, you're entitled to one of the three fields, so I got 1.5, I should really only get one, so I'm going to give you half. As far as getting the other half from our other brother who doesn't admit that you're his brother, you're going to, good luck, but you're going to have to get the half from him. That's how the Rashbam understands. Rabbi Gershom says, no, I got to give him half of whatever I got, because it's not, I can't look at this guy and see him get less than me. If I hold that we're brothers, so I have to give him, you know, if I got 1.5 fields, I'm going to get 3/4, he's going to get 3/4. Pashtus is like the Rashbam, that no, he doesn't have a claim against, he's only entitled to half of a field from what I got and half of a field from what the other brother got. Let him deal with the other brother. It's not my problem. Mace, if this Suffolk brother dies without any yard, then you give the yarshim, you give the nechassim back to the one who gave them. If this Safek brother received other nechassim b'Yerusha from somewhere else, and then he dies, Yirshu Achav, the brothers that did not say about this mace that he was their brother, Yirshu Achav Imo, they still get that Yerusha together with the brother that did admit that he was the brother. So again, you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon, we know, are brothers. Shimon claims Levi's a brother as well. Reuven says, I don't even know who Levi is. It's just me. It's just me and Shimon, it's just Reuven and Shimon. So when Yaakov dies, Reuven and Shimon each get 1.5 fields. Shimon has to give half of a field to Levi. When Levi dies, if he happens to be a wealthy person, that he has money from other places, that gets split evenly between Reuven and Shimon. Even though Reuven would not give anything to Levi, he does get from Levi. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to focus on the first part of the Mishnah, where we said if a person identifies Zebni, that this is my son, he's Ne'eman. So Zebni, Ne'eman, the Mahilchsa, Legabe, what halacha are we saying that a person is believed to identify somebody as his son, Amr Vidom Shmuel, Li Yarshav, a lift or a system in the Yibum, that the Ben will yarshin him, and also to Pater's wife from Yibum, because a man dies without any children, the woman requires Yibum. But if he says Zebni, it means he does have children, so the woman no longer requires Yibum. So ask the Gemara, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that if a guy says Zebni, that son will now yarshin him, liyarsho, pshita, that's pashut, because he has a migo that he could just give him all of his stuff as a matana, so he can yarshin him, right? If I really wanted this guy to get all of my worldly possessions, I can give it to him as a matana, so of course he could yarshin him. So the Rashbam writes, you can't say that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that he's neman to yarshin the nechassim that he's going to get afterwards, that he's going to get that are bala rashu, so after he said Zebni, where there's no migo in that, right? Because he couldn't at that point, he couldn't give it to him as a matana, because the nechassim that come to him afterwards, he's takanat neman to say Zebni, because he doesn't have a migo. So that can't be the Chiddush of the Mishnah. It's not true, says Rashbam. Meaning, don't tell me that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is he's believed to say Zebni, that he's going to yarshin even stuff I don't have at the time that I say Zebni, because he's not going to yarshin even the stuff that I don't have at the time that I say Zebni. What about the fact that on Kuv Chav Zayin and Beis we learned that a father is neman about one of his sons, if he has a bunch of sons, and we know they're all his sons, he's neman about one of them to say that he's a Bechor and he's going to get Pishnayim, even on the stuff that he's going to get afterwards, says Rashbam. That's because we know these are his sons, so we just have to identify, you know, who's the Bechar. But when we don't even know that this guy is his son, he's not Neman to give him something that's going to be Balo Acharkach. So all the Rishonim disagree with Rashbam over here. The Rashbam raises a question. Shmuel says, Liyorsho Pshita, right? Meaning, what's the Gemara's Kash over here? Liyorsho Pshita. That isn't it a Dover Pashut that he can be Morish to him? if he can't really be morish everything to him, is it really, would the Gemara really say that? Li yarshal pshita, that obviously he could be morish to him? He can't. He can't be morish things out of bala le'achar mikan. So very, very difficult. The Rosh and the Ritva also point out that according to the Rashbam, if a person were to come from Medina Siyam with his wife and children, and he has krovim in the place that he came to, he should be neman that these are his children only legabe the nechassim that he already owns. But nechassim that he has afterwards, the other krovim that are in this place are going to get lefi seder kadima biyerusha, and you know that's against the minhag Yisrael, right? Meaning, if a person comes in Medina Siyam and he says, "Oh, let me introduce you to my wife and my children," and 20 years later he dies, we don't say, "Well, how do I know that's really his wife and his children?" No, of course he's neman even on whatever he gained in those 20 years. So it's very, very difficult to say like this, Rashbam. So that's why the other Rishonim say, of course the father's neman to say Zebini legabe things that he's going to be yorish afterwards as well. And that's what the Gemara is saying, Pshita. Even though there's somewhat of a Chiddush, he's neman even for the Nechasim that come Achar Kach, it's because the reason it's Pshita is because there's no Hachasha to what he's saying, that this is his son. No one's arguing on that. So that's why it's Pshita. So anyway, when the Mishnah, back to our story over here, the Mishnah said that if a guy says Zebini, he's neman. So the Gemara says, of course he's neman. Neman for what? To say that the son is going to yarshin him? Why wouldn't he be? So it says, lift our system in Yibum. The Chiddush is that he's neman to pater his wife from Yibum, that she will not require Yibum. Says, well, that's also kind of obvious because we know it already. Hanami Tanina, we already learned this in the Mishnah Maseches Kiddushin, that you're believed to say something that will pater your wife from Yibum. Misham B'shas Misasa, the Mishnah says that if someone says on his deathbed, Yeshli Banim, I have children, and therefore my wife does not require Yibum, Neman, we believe him, and his wife can get remarried. Yeshli Achim, if he says, I have brothers, and therefore my wife does require Yibum, you think she doesn't require Yibum because I don't have any brothers, you should know, I have brothers, and she does need Yibum, Eino Neman, we do not believe him, to Aser his wife, to Lashuk. So why does the Tan have to say in our Mishnah that he's Neman to be Matir his wife? We already said in the Mishnah in Kiddushin. So says Mar, no, Hasam, in the Mishnah Kiddush, we're talking about it's a case where we didn't know that he has any brothers, so his wife is becheskas that she does not require yibum, so he's neman. But we wouldn't have known that he's neman when we know that even in a case where he has brothers, over here, even though we know that he has brothers, so we know that there's a yibum shaila over here, we're still going to believe him that he has a son, and therefore the wife does not require yibum. So that's the additional chiddush our Mishnah teaches. The Mishnah in Kiddushin teaches that if I didn't know that he has brothers, so he's neman to say yesh li banim, because I didn't know that there was even a havamina of yibum. So he's neman to say there is no havamina whatsoever of yibum. But even in a case where I know he has brothers and I think there's a havamina that there's going to be yibum over here, he's still neman to say yesh li banim. Why is it that a person is neman to say, now that we know that he's neman to say it, and we know what the chiddush is that he's neman to say it, why is it true that he's believed to say that he has a son? Because a man could say that he divorced his wife and therefore she wouldn't need Yibum anyway. So since he's believed to say that he got divorced, so he's believed to say that this is his son. Amar Rav Yosef, Mari de Avram, Tali Tana B'dolo Tanya, Ribono Shalolam. You're going to say that I heard from is it possible that that's the reason of the Mishnah? That you're being told that the Tam of the Din that's beferish in the Mishnah with a din that it doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnah. I mean, you're saying, why is it that he's believed to say Zebini? Because of the well-known halacha that you're believed to say Gerashi Yisishti. Well-known halacha, that doesn't appear in the Mishnah. Zebini is our Mishnah. It doesn't say anywhere in any Mishnah that you're believed to say Gerashi Yisishti. So, Eli Yitmar, Hachi Yitmar. If we're going to say over this teaching, it's as follows. Why are you believed to say that this is my son and therefore pater your wife from Yibum? Because if you really wanted to pater from Yibum, you could just give her a get. You could just divorce her. Amr of Yosef, Hashta, Da'amrit. Now that I know this Mishnah, that you're believed to say Zebini, Shani, and therefore pata your wife from Yibum, because, and the reason for it is because you always have Biyoda Lagarsha, since you're going to say hold Biyoda Lagarsha, he's Neman, therefore it leads to a new conclusion that Baal Shama Garashti Asishti, Neman hold Biyoda Lagarsha. So it leads to a lesser known halacha that we could derive from the halacha in the Mishnah. Not the opposite. We're deriving this from the halacha in the Mishnah, that if a man says he divorced his wife, we believe him because he always has the ability to divorce his wife. So the Gemara brings the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, who disagrees. That if a man says that I divorced my wife, we do not believe him to pater from Yibum with Amigo that he could have divorced her right now, because if he would have been Megarisher, there would have been kol that he was Megarisher. Now that there's no kol, it's as if there's Edim that he was not Megarisher, and we don't say Migo B'makom Edim, meaning it's Ki'ilu, we view it as if there's Edos that there was no divorce, because divorces are things that people hear about, people in the community talk about it or whatever. So there was no call. It's as if there's edus that there was no divorce. So you're not going to say migo that he could have divorced her. No, it's migo b'makom edim. We have edim that he didn't divorce her, not actual edim, but the lack of a call is the equivalent of edim. So that was the argument that Rabbi Yochanan made against Rav Yosef. So again, Rav Yosef says that we could derive from our Mishnah that if a man says gerashti yasishti, he's neman. Rabbi Yochanan says no, we cannot, because gerashti yasishti goes against a lack of a kol, it goes against the equivalent of edim. So menafeach Rav Sheshes biyader, Rav Sheshes blew into his hands, azalei hold Rav Yosef, and he says, look at that, Rav Yosef's migo just flew away. So he did some sort of physical gesture to show like there it goes, it just disappeared into thin air, the migo of Rav Yosef. So says the Gemara, really, it says the Gemara, are we sure that Rabbi Yochanan says what we just attributed to Rabbi Yochanan? Meaning we just attributed to Rabbi Yochanan that the husband is not Neman to say Gerashti Asishti, but Eini Vamar Rabbi Chia Bar Avin Am Rabbi Yochanan. That if a husband says Gerashti Asishti, he is Neman. So we have Rabbi Yochanan on record saying that a husband is Neman to say Gerashti Asishti. So says Gemara, lo kasha. It's not a stira in Rabbi Yochanan. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes a husband is Neman to say Gerashti Asishti, sometimes not. What does it depend on? Kan mafreya, kan lahaba. When Rabbi Yochanan says that a Baal Shama Gerashti Asishti is not believed, that's the husband who says that he was Megarish Asishto in order that we should believe him in the mafreya, meaning he comes to us on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and he says, Kirashti es Ishti, back on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And there are Edim that she was Mizana on the 15th day of Nisan. Pesach? The 12th day of Nisan. So there are Edim that she was Mizana, you know, at some point during Chodesh Nisan. So he's trying to be Neman to pater her from Chiyuv Misa, Limafreya! But we didn't breathe a word about this Gerushin on Rosh Chodesh Nisan before she actually had this Nus. So that's where he's not going to be Neman. But when Rabbi Yochanan says that he is, that a husband is Neman to say he was Megarish his wife, that's if he says Gerashti es Ishti, and then Mikanu Laba, she goes and she has Bia with somebody. So we assume that he's believed that he was actually Megarish his wife. Tosas raises the question, isn't it Pashut that he's not Neman the Mafreya? Why is it that we put a date in a get in the first place? Right? The whole reason we date a get is because Shami Chapal Basachoso, that we're afraid that a man might be married. It used to be very common people would marry relatives. So a man is married to his niece. So in addition to the fact that she's his wife, he loves her because she's his niece. So maybe she wasn't such a great wife, didn't work out so well as far as wife was concerned, but he still loves him because she's his niece. So she's going to cheat on him. She's going to be chayiv misa, and he's going to feel bad. He doesn't want his niece to die, so he's going to give a get, and he's going to say, oh, this get predates her znus. So we don't want that to happen. So in order to avoid that, we put a date in a get. So isn't it obvious that he's not going to be Neman l'mafreya? It would upend the whole, you know, anytime a guy says Gerashti Asishti, you could do the same thing. He could, if he was Neman l'mafreya. So Tosfos is bothered by that. Kasha, it's a strong kasha. Now, says Gemara, Yibayilu, Amar l'mafreya, mayu l'muni l'aba. What if the guy says, I was Megarish my wife a month ago? So granted, if we have Edim that she was Mizana in that intervening month, right? So he's not going to be Neman about that. But let's say she's Mizana the next day. He's claiming he was Megarish's wife a month earlier. but she wasn't mezana during that month. She's now mezana the next day. So do we believe him about that? That he was Megarish's wife, and therefore she's not going to be chayiv misa. Mi palgina dibura. Do we do palgina dibura that we believe that as, we don't believe him that he was Megarish her a month ago, but we do believe him that he was Megarish her. We do believe him that they're divorced. Alo palgina dibura. Do we not? Are we not mechalik that which he says into two different statements? And since he's not neman that he was Megarish her lemafreya, he's not neman that he was Megarish her at all. So if Mari Vrazvid chalam palgina chalam alo palgina machlokas. So maishna midurava. Why should this be any different than that which the din that Rava taught us in Masech Sanhedrin? Tamar Rava. Rava says that a guy comes and is made and based in Ish Ploni Baal Ishti, that so and so was Boel, my wife, who's Nashis Ish. He, along with somebody else, can be believed to kill the adulterer who is Boel's wife. We believe him to kill the adulterer, but not to kill the adulteress, because it's Ishto Kegufo. He's not Neman Legabe, his wife. So you see, Palgina Dibura, that we believe him about this act of Bia Legabe the adulterer, but not Legabe the adulteress. So it says, yeah, betray Gufe Palgina, Bechad Gufo lo Palginan. We'll say Palgina Dibura when it's two separate people, but when it's all about one person, it's about the same wife, and it's just about whether he's believed the Mafreya or believed the Hava, then we're not going to say Palgina Dibura. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick up on the very top of Kuf Lamed Hayyam and Aleph. Everyone have a wonderful day.